On this episode of Industrial Talk, we're talking about simple automated guided vehicle solutions. Now, I'm all about simple, as you can imagine. And we're talking to Mike Kotzian, and he is with Kivenon. We're going to just sort of have to lay the lumber of why this is so important. Let's get going.
Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, looky-looky. We're back. We're back celebrating you industrial heroes all around the world because you are bold, you are brave, you dare greatly, you're solving problems. Yeah, you're collaborating, absolutely, and you're making my lives and the lives of many around the world better. Wow. That's why we celebrate you on this particular podcast. As mentioned, Mike Kotzian's in the hot seat. Kivenon is the company, and you know, we're just talking about automated vehicles, but for me personally, simple is better, so let's get cracking. I'm all about simple. I think if you make things difficult for people to understand, They're not gonna listen to you. I think if you make it difficult to try to deploy something, you're not gonna have great success, because I think that, especially now, and I think where innovation is heading, I think innovation has been heading to the point where end user is just paramount. Simple is better. Getting it in the hands of the frontline people or wherever it's supposed to get in the hands of. And if you make that solution easy, powerful, and usable, you've got a success model right there, baby. And I think there are many companies out there that are really working hard and diligently on doing that. All right. On the calendar, I want to be able to sort of pump an event that I think that you need to go to. It is the IoT Solutions World Congress event. It is in Barcelona. It is May 10th through the 12th. And you're saying, Scott, why do I want to do that? You want to do it because it's important for us to get back to whatever that next normal is. And that means face-to-face conversation, a little bit of human interaction, get more done when you're, you know, you're right there face-to-face looking, right, at the individual. That is a great event. Because of COVID, hadn't been there for a couple of years, of course, like many haven't. But it's in Barcelona, and my recommendation, my 10 hard hat recommendation, IoT Solutions World Congress is where it's at. Another point, one, Conference 2.0. You're saying to yourself, Scott, what is that? I'm tired of, you know, all of the number.0 type of solutions. But this one's different. And the reason is that if we are to get together, get back together, get sort of, you know, the blending of both the virtual, important, we're all working from our home, you know, it's just the way the world is going right now. But I think real successful companies are going to be focused on that real human interaction, whatever that takes. That face-to-face human interaction. And I think events such as IoT Solutions World Congress and others are just absolutely great at that. Now, what do I mean by... I think gone are the days of, you know, pre-pandemic, we'd go to these events just because it was in our budget and we'd go there, drink some good cocktails and eat some great food and yuck it up with people at the event. But really, did things really get progressed? And I think that we need to start thinking of these events as real strategic engagements. And to be able to do that, we have to really plan. There's like a plan our meetings, plan our connections, plan on the, for lack of a better term, the prospects we want to get in front of. And then there's the during, right? You're going to sit there and you got your stuff all laid out. You're going to be talking about it. You've got that conversation happening. And then, of course, one of the most important components, of course, is the post. And that is the follow-up. That's the nurturing. And that's what you need to do. But it requires a lot of effort to get to those three steps. Now, I call it Conference 2.0 because what I do here at Industrial Talk, this ecosystem that is being created with great companies, great leaders, is that we create that whole strategy in the beginning, get people on the podcast, get people sponsoring, get people having that conversation and highlighting, right? Highlighting what they are doing, highlighting the subject matter, get it going, have that conversation, create that relationship, that friendship, and be able to have that asset, that interview, that conversation asset. And during the conference, we're there on site, man. This is on site. Boom, we're working and we're interviewing the best that these companies have to offer. But the most important component is after. And, you know, we'll create a video and we'll create all of the great content, the interviewing content, the media content, everything there from the event. Fun stuff. It's all fun. It better be fun. It better be entertaining, right? Or you're not going to listen to it. You're not even going to watch it. Why would you watch it? So that's our model. But the best part about it is after the fact. This is where you begin to nurture. This is where you begin to collaborate. This is where you begin to develop those real meaningful relationships, the friendships that come out as a result of these events. Important. But you got to keep at it. You can't let it go. But I'm going to just sort of throw a little wrinkle in there. Yeah, you've got a great solution. Don't get me wrong. Great solution. Thumbs up. Everything all fine and dandy with that. But how about it if you take this approach? If you're truly destined, if you're truly passionate, if you're truly committed to your existing customer or your prospect's success, that to me is a collaborative conversation. Sure, I can say, hey, I do this. But I think that we don't have all the answers. And if I'm looking for solutions and I have an idea that, you know, company A over here has the right solutions for you, I better have the integrity and the moral fortitude to say, hey, company A, you need to go over here. I think they have the solutions. I think each conference needs to go by that model to get the most out of all the engagements. We just have to be able to get that. This ecosystem, the Industrial Talk ecosystem, is focused on getting the most out of and fill in the blank and doing it the best possible way and adjusting to get the most out of conferences, to get the most out of connections, to get the most out of whatever it might be. I think that is key to your marketing and sales focus and strategy. How about that for a rant? Do it. Pre, during, post, get engaged, face-to-face, solutions, collaboration, innovation. It's all there. And make it doggone fun and entertaining. There. That's it. Kivnon. I'm interested in the automated solution, right? And these vehicles that are autonomous and automated and doing work, I always had the thinking that, oh, what is that going to, you know, you got to dig up my floor, you got to do certain things. Kivnon has a great solution, simple. You can tip your little toesies in the cold water and say, hey, all right, here we go. We're going to just start out small and then scale from there. I'm always about that incremental approach right now, especially when it comes to innovation, technology, and then finding people you can trust. That's a big one. Mike, Kivnon, you can trust them. They've got the Ted Harthout approval from me, or Industrial Talk. So enjoy the conversation. Mike, welcome to Industrial Talk. Thank you very much for finding time in your busy schedule to talk to the best listeners around the world. And that is Industrial Talk. How are you doing today?
Really good, Scott. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
I'm telling you, I'm excited about this conversation. I'm always excited about all the conversations. I believe industry is what's going to help us get through all of this stuff is. Whatever pain you're feeling, industry. Whatever challenge you're dealing with, people, industry. There you go.
Fair enough.
That's a plug to you. Congratulations.
Okay, I appreciate
anyway. All right. For the listeners out there, give us a little background, a little 411 on who Mike is.
Yeah, sure. So I'm Mike Kotze and I'm the managing director for Kivnon. Kivnon's an AGV company, automated guided vehicle company. I've been doing automated guided vehicles for 24 years now. I'm an AGV guy. That's what I, that's what I know. That's what I do. So, wow. Yeah. So,
Kid Nines, yeah, no, I have to interrupt real quick. Just, yeah. You've seen it change quite a bit. 24 years. I didn't know it was around that long.
So that's what's funny is actually it's been around a lot longer than that. The AGV was invented in 1954 by Arthur Mack Barrett in Illinois. It was called the Guidomatic, and he started a company called Barrett Electronics. And actually, you can still see some of those units rolling around today from the early 80s, Barrett Electronics.
Wow, that is pretty doggone cool. I love the history, and you're a history buff. I like that. Now, let's get into the interview. Let's get into the conversation. What's the problem? Why is AGV, what is the problem we're trying to deal with and what are we trying to solve?
Yeah. I mean, I just looked actually before we talked because I think there's roughly 11 million job openings in the United States right now. I think there's somewhere around 6 million people in unemployment. So, I mean, you do the math, right? We're trying to get, you know, there's all these supply chain issues, right? There's, you know, workforce issues. I mean, everybody's facing it, right? So AGVs is an option right now to automate processes, whether simple or complex, where, you know, traditionally maybe you would have had a tugger driver or a person doing it. And maybe actually if you're running 24/7, you would have had three or four people doing it, you know, over a week span, and you can do it with AGVs automatically now, right? So, I mean, I think years past, we were fighting the issue of maybe, let's say, replacing jobs. But I think right now, that conversation is long gone.
And you know what's interesting? I'm not going to sit there and get all political. I don't understand why there's such a disconnect between unemployment and these job openings. Maybe I don't know. But people who complain about their job being automated or something going away, I mean, This is the reality of what's taking place out in the market. I've got to keep my doors open. I've got to figure out a solution. I can't find people to do the job. Whatever that problem is, I've got to do something. And I like that because that the AGV, and it's not just warehouse, right? It's in manufacturing. It's what are the applications of these automated guided vehicles?
Yeah, so I mean, it's pretty broad. I mean, the roots of AGVs is really strong in manufacturing and really strong in automotive, to be honest. And I mean, that's kind of our bread and butter. I mean, we're moving material, whether it's, you know, parts of a car, basically to assemble a car, right? We're delivering, you know, headliners or, you know, mirrors, different parts, right? You know, for you to deliver. But, you know, there is a lot in warehousing and things like that as well, right? And it really depends. I mean, there's a lot of AGV companies out there. I like I said, I've been doing AGVs a long time. You know, there's a lot. Food and beverage is huge, you know, but there's specific vehicles that fit for that, right? And then warehousing, right? So you see little AMRs, autonomous mobile robots. You see AGVs, automated guided vehicles, AGCs, carts. There's a lot of different names for them. and they all kind of fit differently, right? Of whether you're in e-commerce with an AMR or whether you're in a big, you know, like a beverage company, we're using like a big forklift style AGV, or, you know, kind of more what we do is really strong in a lot of manufacturing where we're delivering the parts to line to assemble a vehicle.
AMR, clarify that real quick.
Yep. That's an autonomous mobile robot. And I've said this before, there is no governor of the AGV, AMR, AGC space, right? So there is overlap, but I mean, there's AMR companies typically are smaller units. There's quite a few out there. That's a newer kind of companies technology. Kiva was one of the bigger ones in 2014. I think Amazon bought Kiva, and that was sort of revolutionary in terms of, you know, the technology, what they were doing, goods to person for e-commerce. And, you know, Amazon bought the company rather than continue to source from them.
And that, no, you're right. Why not? I mean,
and also made it so that their competitors, you know, couldn't have it, right? But so, you know, that's the AMR space, autonomous mobile robots, and those are smaller units, and those are more goods to person. You'll see that a lot more in e-commerce.
So if I'm a manufacturer and I'm struggling just the reality. I'm struggling to find resources. My line is being hampered and I'm overworking the existing resources that I do have just because I have to. What is a typical financial return on investment for your solution or any solutions that's associated with AGV?
Yeah, I mean, so that's, and I've seen that sort of change a little bit over the years too, in terms of, you know, there used to be really strict ROI, maybe if some of the automotive companies might have like a 1-year payback, and that was really always difficult to achieve. So, I mean, with the simpler solutions, with the AGCs, which is more like kind of our style, like I said, the automated guided carts, kind of like they're smaller units and in manufacturing, it's easier now to get a 1 to 2 year, you know, return on your investment. You know, a lot of the bigger units and things like that, it's a little more difficult, and it depends too. If you're running like 24/7, that's, we kind of always have this sort of red light, yellow light, green light. So like if you're running one shift and you're like a low wage rate, that's really difficult to get a payback. But if you're running, you know, 3 to 4 shifts, let's say full time 24/7, especially in high wage rate areas, it's really easy to get a, you know, 1 to 2 year payback.
That's interesting. Yeah, I never thought of it that way. You're right. If you're a 9-to-5 type of business, mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a tough one. But if you're round the clock, high wage, that's interesting. Now, we've got carts, we've got robots, and we've got vehicles. That's what I've heard so far.
Yep.
The question I would have if I was evaluating whether I need to go down the road of automation is, do I look at my business in such a way that I can say, okay, here's my entry level. I want to do it here. But then, you know, maybe 3-4 years from now, I want to be up here. Is it scalable, easily scalable?
Yeah, for sure. AGVs for me, I've always said, because I've worked at some bigger companies where we did large $40 million integrated systems, right? And AGVs, it's an entry level into automation. I mean, you can do $100,000, you know, 2-vehicle system and get into automation at a, you know, a low price point. And then, yeah, I mean, you can scale in terms of adding vehicles and expanding. And then on the software side too, you can, a lot of times it depends on the company, you know, but you can start at sort of an A to B push button, let's say, you know, 2 vehicles back and forth, boom, A to B. You can eventually, you know, maybe have a 10-15 vehicle system that you're actually doing a lot more on the software side, like maybe managing the inventory or the locations or doing some more decision making and things like that. So
does Kivenon provide the software component?
Yeah. So our AGVs all have PLCs on board typically, which is a little unique in the industry. It gives a lot more flexibility. A lot of companies have industrial PCs on board. But then in terms of, you know, from the software side, like I said, you can start from just a simple push button back and forth type unit, you know, or system, let's say, and then you can kind of have maybe mid-level where you're maybe managing a location or two, like, you know, especially with manufacturing, like you typically you're delivering a full, right? And then you grab the empty, right? That's real typical in the industry. So, you know, the AGV system can kind of make that decision of, okay, here I dropped. And so then I pick from here. Next time I drop here and pick from here. Basic, right? Now we're starting to grow the software a little bit. And then that can actually get all the way to where you're, you know, either interfacing or actually working like a WMS or, you know, a WES or something like that.
Hold it. WMSWBS.
Warehouse management software,
and then WBS.
WES, warehouse ES. Execution software. I'm not a software guy. I say this all the time, mechanical engineer. But yeah, that's the software side. You can really start to grow. And most companies have their own WMS already, right?
So yeah.
Something, but so you can interface with that. That's pretty common to interface with it, and that's then sometimes you can kind of function as one, right? As well, if it's, you know, maybe a smaller area, or, you know, not that many locations.
So I'm interested in the 2-cart solution, and I like your price point. I'm interested in that. I'm dipping my toes into the water of automation. I say yes. Give me the time. And I understand it's there's a swag here, but generally speaking, time to actual implementation and execution.
Yeah. So right now for our standard units for something like that, it would be around 6 months, which, I mean, there's a lot of supply chain issues. We're not immune to that, but you know, our operations director did a really good job kind of planning ahead. And with our standard units, you know, as little as 6 months, you know, depending on the system. I mean, it, you know, some units might be up to 9 months for a system. So still within a year.
But do I have to, how do these units are guided on the floor?
Yeah, like, so our units are typical, our magnetic tape, which is, you know, it's a, I don't want to say down and dirty technology. It's been around for quite a while. It's easy. It's a less expensive navigation technology. There's RFID tags on the side that kind of give it, you know, sort of the decision-making of slow down, go charge, speed up, change scanner things. But, you know, you lay the tape on the floor. We also have infrastructure free. They call it mapping. It's basically a SLAM technology that uses the environment as well. We have some of those units as well, but I mean, our bread and butter is sort of the, you know, more industrial mouse style AGVs that are running on the magnetic tape.
See, now I like that. I like the magnetic tape just because I let's say today my floor looks like this, whatever this is, and I'm running some tape down here. And then tomorrow I get a great contract that requires me to modify my floor plan, my layout. Then I can feel comfortable knowing that it's just tape. It's not something that goes right into the concrete and it's there forever. So it has some flexibility that I like. I'm always about flexibility, but that, and I would imagine you could say, yeah, okay, I see you're shifting your floor. So what we'll do is we'll lay this out and we'll do it this way. And so your implementation is quicker too, as well.
Yeah. The tape is easy. I mean, I'd say cheap. There's other companies I worked at that use it as well. I mean, it's, you can put protective cover on it. You can epoxy it. It becomes a little more permanent at that point. But yes, I mean, you can, on demand, you can sort of lay tape and like make a Y and make it turn this way. I mean, I've seen it many, many times. You know, it's really easy to modify.
Yeah, it's Hot Wheels.
Yeah, sure. You can change the track. Change the track. I see my 6-year-old daughter do it, Claire. She just changed the track.
Just like, change the track. I wanted to go around this now.
Exactly. Exactly.
Which is not bad. Which is not a bad idea. I like that. And it allows me to get my foot in the door of automation and see the value, the benefits, I'm a firm believer that if you're not in the game and you're not thinking about it, you don't know the questions to ask. You don't know what you're trying to use the technology for. So get in the game. I see that is a vital component. Now, there's always roadblocks. I get it. If I can automate, that's great. I'm dealing with some resource challenges. Yes, that's reality of it. But what are the roadblocks? What are we talking about? What prevents people from going that way?
Yeah, so we always try to identify those early too, right? So IT can be an issue. So I always recommend people to get their IT group involved early because that can be a roadblock if they don't want you to VPN in or be on the network, different things like that. So if you're a company that's, you know, trying to implement AGVs, definitely get your IT people on board early. Let them know what you're doing. That always helps. Safety is another big one, right? Yeah. So if you've got a big safety department group, they need to know, you know, if they don't know about AGVs, if you haven't had them before, then, you know, that's a lot of times a stumbling block. If you've got a big safety crew and they've already, you know, you've got multiple sites with AGVs, it's a lot easier. So you definitely want to get safety involved as well. I mean, those are the other issues besides finance.
What are the safety concerns? I have to pull on that string. What is that?
Yeah, safety's huge. I mean, safety for AGVs is huge. And I mean, and there has been a ton of, you know, developments over the years to make them safer and safer and safer. The safety spec that basically governs AGVs, the ANSI B56.5, that's the main safety spec. I don't want to say it's sort of a minimal safety spec. I mean, it kind of, it still makes vehicles safe and solution safe, but there's responsibility on both parts. It's not just the AGV company has responsibility. The company implementing the AGVs has their own responsibility as well, whether to train the operators how to be around them, put signs up, things like that. They have a lot of responsibility as well.
Yeah, come on. I mean, I get it. And it, you're in the business. The AGV companies are in the business of definitely delivering a solution to a problem. And if safety is a challenge, you're gonna build it in there. You're gonna have to figure that out, or nobody's gonna use your product. If people are getting run over by your product, nobody will like that. Nobody.
Sure.
So I do like that. So we've got IT issues. You know how many times I have that conversation? Roadblocks, IT.
Yeah.
It just happens all the time. Okay. You're not immune to it either.
No.
It sounds to me that it's important to get the sort of leadership involved too. Saying, yeah, this is where we need to go. This is the strategic direction we are heading. And this is why it's important. And then that probably deals with a lot of the other internal resistance to be able to, you know, deploy the solution.
Yeah. Yeah. And you got, I mean, and it depends. A bigger company, when corporate, let's say, has a plan to put AGVs in, it goes down to the plant level. You still got to get plant level buy-in, right? Either, you know, from the operations managers and the plant manager people. I've seen struggles a little bit where there's sort of a corporate mandate, right? Nobody likes, you know, at the plant level to hear that if they're not on board. So, But it does definitely help to have executive sponsorship, especially executives and corporate people that have had experience with them, let's say from another company, right? And they're rolling into a different company, bringing their expertise and say, hey, this is what we did, you know? So
I'll tell you one word, Amazon. Amazon's all in. If Amazon's all in, and I know that I use Amazon, you need to consider doing the same thing. You need to figure this out. If they're in, they've got a competitive advantage. It's obvious.
Yeah.
So, you know, make it happen. All right. So what we have is we've got sort of a 6-month for a simple type of solution. We're looking at carts. Is it scalable? Yes. And I love the approach. Now, just remember, we've got a couple of issues that have to be addressed. That's IT as well as safety. But I think that those are two issues that can be overcome. And just remember, once again, Amazon. All right. Mike, how do people get a hold of you and say, this is cool conversation, I want to get a hold of Mike?
Yeah, for sure. So you can find me on LinkedIn, for sure. Kivnon, you can find us, kivnon.com, and you can follow Kivnon USA on Twitter.
All right, that's Mike Kotzin. That's K-O-T-Z-I-A-N. Kivnon, K-I-V-N-O-N, is the company. Once again, LinkedIn. God bless LinkedIn. Because you can always find their stat card out. Somebody's stat card out there. Get a little feel, flavor. Find the website. Can do all of that. All right. That was an excellent conversation there, Mike. I appreciate your time.
Awesome, Scott. It was a lot of fun. I can always talk AGVs.
See, I think it's so cool. I don't know, man. It's an odd time. I mean, I can geek out. I'm a big fan of Discovery Channel and Smithsonian Channel, and they do all of that garbage. I love that.
And I always like being able to talk to somebody about it besides my wife, because she's tired of hearing about it. So,
yeah, I hear you. Hey, did you know that we could do? I'm out of here. I'm going to
score.
All right. Thank you, Mike. All right, listeners, fear not. We're going to have all the links and contact information from Mike out on industrialtalk.com. So stay tuned. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right, hearty, thank you to Mike for joining me on the Industrial Talk Podcast. Kivnon's a company. Simple is the best way that I can possibly sum up the conversation. Automated vehicles, simple. Yeah, reach out. Great stat card out on LinkedIn. You will not be disappointed. Again, 10 hard hat approval. Trusted individual. You won't be disappointed. All right. May 10th to 12th, IoT Solutions World Congress, Barcelona. Yeah, Barcelona's great. No doubt about that. Let's get back to normal. Let's get back to that next normal. Let's get engaged. Let's look at those face-to-face conversations and make it meaningful. Get the most out of your conferences. Get the most out of your engagements. That's what we're all about here at Industrial Talk. Go to that event. Oh, great, great time. All right, be bold, be brave. Dare greatly. Hang out with Mike. Bold, brave, and daring greatly. You're going to change the world. Thank you very much for joining. We're going to have another conversation, a great one, around the corner.